Oh, hi, I'm Hannah Couples with Rita. I actually feel really nervous. So I'm just gonna get that out there. And I was kind of trying to say a prayer to my higher power or the readings were being read. So I have a thing where like I don't let myself think about a show until I actually start speaking. So let's see what God wants to say, I would say. Like I just need to be a vessel. And my reality is I'm abstinent today. And I actually had to go and look up how abstinent I was because I'm not really counting at the moment, which is unusual for me. So I'm actually 6 months tomorrow, God willing. Which for me is amazing. And you know, like I've experienced strength and hope. So I was first introduced to OA when I was 20, 21. So it was about 17 years ago, and I'm a member of another fellowship. I've been in and out of 12-step recovery since I was 19. I've been to like nine different treatment centers. I've had kind of varying clean time, and so it was the second time I went into treatment, and they said, you're a compulsive overeater and you have to go to OA. And there wasn't really a choice about it. And they put me on a kitchen ban and a food plan. And I was just like, what are you talking about? Honestly, I remember I had so many conversations with them. I was like, there's been a mistake. Like, I really don't understand. I'm definitely not. Like, I can maybe acknowledge that the consequences of my drug use are going to mean that I need to go to 12-step recovery, but I don't have a problem with food. And that's kind of been my story for the last 20 years is like, yes, I can see the consequences of my ism and other behaviors, but I really don't have an issue with food. And I guess the longer I've spent in and out of OA, my story changes. You know, like every time I kind of tell it or look back on it, it changes. And I guess that happens because I get deeper and deeper with my recovery through the steps and also through like I've multiple relapses around food. You know, even when I did get to a point where I was like, I'm a compulsive overeater and it's too painful for me to carry on living like this, that didn't grant me abstinence. So I've had a lot of times where I've spent, you know, I used to say, oh, when I was at uni and I was in 12-step recovery and I was abstinent for 4 or 5 years. And I just thought this morning, I was like, hang on a minute. Like, I don't th actually, I wasn't. Like, yes, I was on a food plan, but I wasn't going to OA meetings. I didn't have a sponsor. I wasn't doing the step work. And actually, like, I was thin. So I thought I was in recovery, basically. I was like, there isn't a problem here. You know, and for so long they say that thing of like I came for the vanity and stayed for the sanity. Like, I really didn't want to. I don't want to talk too much about drugs, but like, I found it so much harder to acknowledge my powerlessness over food, because it's like I'd just look around and be like, why can't I just eat normally? Everyone else can eat normally. Like, it's embarrassing. There's so much shame there for me. Whereas I guess with drugs, it's like you know, a lot of people who take drugs get really out of control, and there's a lot of my eating, and I would say it's probably my primary. It's the first thing I picked up. It's the first thing I go back to. It's the first thing I want to do when I have any kind of feeling is I want food, and for a long time I thought it was the safer option. Like I'll just pick up the food so I don't blow up my life with everything else. And I guess my real rock bottom was during lockdown. So I actually came out of prison as a result of my ism, drug ism. And I came out of prison and I was locked in a flat, like I locked myself in a flat with severe anxiety and depression, and ate myself to obesity. You know, I didn't see people for months at a time. I'd run out when it was dark to go and get food and run back in and the amount of self-hatred that I was kind of living in. I was just waiting to die every day, and stuffing my face with as much food as I possibly could until I passed out, and then waking up and doing the same. And then lockdown happened, and I remember being like, oh, everyone was like, oh, we can't go out. And I was like, well, I haven't been out for like 2 years. Like, this is my normal life. Hang on. Like, there's something that's not okay here. At that point, I was over 18 stone. Like, I'd stopped weighing myself, which I did look up. So that's like over 250 pounds. And I couldn't get off the sofa. I had early onset diabetes. I had zero energy, and I would say like I was dying, and I was like in my 20s, in my 30s. And yet I didn't go, oh, my food's a problem. Or sometimes I did go, my food's a problem. And every day I did. And every day I'd wake up and I'd be like, right, I'm going to get my life sorted. I'm going to go outside today. I'm not going to stuff my face with sugar first thing in the morning. And inevitably, I'd last like 10 minutes by the end of that. Like, the internal pain was so strong. And I had a knowledge of the 12 steps, and I'd been to OA meetings, and I couldn't stop eating. And I guess it's that thing as well for me, like, there have been external benefits of working a program and being abstinent. Like, I've lost a lot of weight. I can move, but the main thing's like my internal state. Like, I don't want to die anymore. Like, I love my life. I can go outside. I'm not hiding, and every time I have relapsed in program, I'm straight back there. That I draw the blinds. I buy hundreds of pounds worth of food, and I'm like, I just need to stop my life. And I guess, like, I remember after, so I was in lockdown, and there was a kind of relief because I was like, well, no, I'm not missing out on anything. Everyone's trapped inside or whatever. I don't know. Something happened, and my sister and her husband came down to Wales to live with me and literally dragged me outside to move and forced me to try and get a bit healthier, which I don't necessarily recommend. It was a bit of a boot camp. But with that, I started going to OA meetings, and Zoom saved my life because I was so anxious. There was no way I would have been able to sit in a real life meeting. And I could go on a Zoom meeting and have my camera off and just listen and not feel the shame of looking like I did or being who I was. And I slowly started to kind of get a bit of life back, and I got a sponsor, and she was like, call me at 9 o'clock every no, 7:30 every morning, right? Which for me is crazy early. And I did it, and I did it for 6 months, and I called her every morning, and I got on it, and my life started to change, and I moved, and I kind of, started doing the steps with her, and looking at this powerlessness stuff. And I guess, this in 12 steps, like, the only step you have to do perfectly is step one. And it's just taken so long for me around the food. Learning to let go of something that's actually, yeah, it was killing me, but it's kept me alive. I don't know I would have been able to deal with the feelings I had without some kind of buffer, and that is so complex, and I think it's different for all of us. But I grew up with an overeating alcoholic mother. I was a chubby kid, but I don't think I had any awareness about around my weight. Like, I was a tomboy, and I don't think I really cared. I got kind of bullied quite a lot at home, by my dad and my sister, kind of being called fat, and I guess that was there. I just wasn't in touch with it. And I remember my best childhood friend saying to me, oh yeah, they used to call you Rhino at youth club. Like, I had no idea. I wasn't even, anyway. And then when I was a teenager, I learned how to diet, and I lost loads of weight, and I got loads of attention, and I thought I had self-esteem, and then for me, I just went into drugs, which managed my weight and my feelings. And
10 minutes.
thanks. When I came into recovery from that, I guess the food reared back up. What can I say? I really, I don't know, when I was talking about the lockdown stuff, like I really didn't see a way out. I didn't think there was a way out. I thought it was me, and I would sit in OA meetings and I'd hear some similarities, but I'd be like, yeah, but I've got issues and this program's not going to help me around food. And I'd try and I'd get abstinent and I'd be great. And then I'd relapse and I'd be like, I just can't do this. Like, I don't understand how I'm supposed to find freedom around food that I have to eat every day, And I've heard people say before, it's like, because I'm always like, oh, yeah, but drug addicts don't have to take drugs every day and alcoholics don't have to drink every day, but I have to eat every day. But actually, that thing of like, well, people with money addictions have to spend money every day, and people with codependency have to be in relationships every day. I guess it's just a different kind of recovery. 'Cause for me, all the 12-step stuff, like, it's just about integrating all those kind of fractured parts of myself. That's my best recovery, and putting God into that as well. And obviously, I can't do that while I'm using food. But I think I had, so I had, I start, I weigh and measure my food. That's part of my abstinence. I've tried loads of different ways, and I kind of, when I'm not weighing and measuring, there's too much space for my disease to come and play. Like, if I'm just like, oh, okay, this is a portion, and then tomorrow it's, a different size. And I always say this thing of like, how free do I want to be? And for me, this is the freest I've ever felt around food. And it feels free most of the time. And that's something I didn't think was possible. And it's not all the time. And I was sitting here this morning and I'm like, oh, okay, actually, when the readings were going around, I was like, well, my recovery isn't as free as I want it to be. But it's infinite. Like, the opportunity is infinite here. Like, it's however much I put in, I'm going to get back. And sometimes I do still have shame. If I'm going somewhere new, I stayed with someone a few months ago and I was like, oh God, I've got to get my scales out in front of them. And I felt this shame. And then I was just like, do you know what? Like, I need to prioritize. And my head will tell me that my recovery is not as important as someone's judgment of my recovery or of me. All I know is if I don't work this program, like, I've got an amazing sponsor, I'm doing step work, I'm going to meetings, I'm not great at outreach. Like, the telephone has, for my entire life, I hate it. I hate answering the phone. There's so much stuff that goes on around that, and I really have to work hard to be gentle with myself but still push through that. But my life today looks like a life, and it looks like a life I dreamed of when I was stuck in shame and self-hatred. And I don't fear leaving the house. I don't spend 2 hours trying on loads of different clothes, trying to make sure I look the least fat so people aren't going to laugh at me on the street. That kind of just a pain. I don't feel that kind of pain today. I love myself, and I know that's on a scale. But the way I speak to myself is really kind. That voice in my head's changed, like, the tone of that voice has changed for me. And my life's opened up. And another really big thing for me is, like, I've never been in a relationship. 'Cause I'm like, no one's coming anywhere near me. I didn't have sex for years. I hated my, I was, no one's going to touch me, and I, at the moment now, I've been in a relationship for over a year. And I don't have that body shame. I don't have that fear of intimacy. I mean, I do to some degree, but it's I'm able to show up more and more as myself and see, just thinking about six and seven, like see the things I don't like about myself or didn't like about myself. And it's like I don't have to shame myself for that because actually I can change that, like three-step work, and that blows my mind. I'm pursuing music, which I couldn't even say out loud until a couple of years ago, and being on a stage and sharing my heart and my soul and dealing with the stuff that comes up around that. And I feel excited about my life most of the time. And that's, I didn't feel like that before recovery. And I know, like, I had a relapse last year. And, for a variety of reasons, I kind of dropped the program out. It was an amalgamation of lots of different things that was like the perfect sabotage. And I quit smoking and I went away and I broke up with my boyfriend. And anyway, I picked up food and it was instant. And I was at a conference. I was running the tech for this conference, and I couldn't do anything. I found myself at like 1 o'clock in the morning, wandering around streets of a city I didn't know, trying to find food. I'm in a hotel room, stuffing food down myself, making myself sick, crying, like incapable of functioning straight away. And sometimes it's not that like that. Sometimes I'll relapse and I'll be able to get, no, actually, that's a lie. No, for me, so that I don't know if that's the progression of the illness, but straight away, I overeat and I want to die. That's where my head goes. Like, just die. Like, there's no, and I can't really justify doing that for myself because I know what I need to do to not pick up food. And I have enough love for myself today that I want to do that stuff. Like, I want to grow. I want to be in the world. I want to create. I want to connect with my higher power. And like, food just cuts it all off straight away, And yeah, I'm in a step nine at the moment, and I've put that, I've been doing steps on and off, but I've never got to a step nine. I got to a step nine last year, and that was around the time that I relapsed. And I'm in my step nine at the moment, and I've been kind of struggling the last few weeks with memories and stuff coming up. And also, this, I don't want to say it harshly, but like feeling sorry for myself that I've caused so much hurt. That's where I go. Like, oh, it's really sad that I've hurt
Minutes.
all these people. And I've actually just been able to like reach out and find the support and carry on doing it. And I made a few amends this week, which felt really big. And the way I feel, like the nuggets of self-esteem I get from owning my part, because part of my thing is like, I'm just going to push it down. It didn't happen. It didn't happen, and it's like the shame kind of festers in that. And there's something about bringing it into the light that's been so powerful for me. And like, it's hard. It's really hard for me, for all of us, I'm imagining. But the rewards on the other side are like, yeah, I don't know what it's going to feel like on the other side of this. But I do know that I've been carrying around guilt and shame since I was a kid.
One
And
minute.
on acknowledged like more and more and more, and this program is allowing me to release that and to just stand in my truth and who I am and be like, actually, I'm okay, and I deserve to be in recovery and have like a life beyond my wildest dreams, and that's my reality today. And from where I've come from in terms of how I felt about myself, that blows my mind. And I love this footsteps meeting so much. Like, it's been a really beautiful process. I feel really grateful. And I feel really grateful I've got the willingness to be in recovery today. So I'm just going to leave it there. But thank you.